Friends, roadies, countrymen, and all you special listeners from all around the world. Yep, I'm back. It's me, J.E., John Edmund, beaming out from the Limpopo province of South Africa. This month, I'm focusing on the persecution of endangered animals. This week, I'm going to touch on the huge subject called rhino poaching. This, folks, is not new. It goes back 2,000 years or more, and began in China and Vietnam, and in Southeast Asia. You know, traditional medicine is much older than modern medicine, and is ingrained and believed in many cultures of the world to be the best of remedies for all ailments. Old beliefs die hard. In the East, they never die, and the use of rhino horn in Chinese traditional medicine is a remedy for almost any human ailment. It's stronger than ever. The power of traditional belief is immense. It is definitely mind over matter. Let's start with the rhino itself. Now, there are five main species of rhino in the world. Three of them occur in Asia and two in Africa. And Africa has the biggest population of rhinos in the world. The African species are the white rhino and the black rhino, or hook-lipped rhinoceros. The white rhino is not actually white. It got its name from the corruption of its German name, the wide rhino. It was called wide, or as the Germans say, weit, because it, being a grazer, has a wide mouth. It is actually grey in colour. The black rhino, or the hook-lipped rhino, on the other hand, is also not white. It's not black. It's a darker colour than the white rhino, slightly smaller, and being a browser, that is, an eater of leaves, it has a smaller mouth. It also walks in a more upright way and is much more aggressive than its bigger cousin. The Mashona tribe in Zimbabwe call it Chipimberi, which means the wild one, and oh boy, what an apt description. You just don't want to meet this beast suddenly in the bush. Luckily, the rhino's eyesight is not as sharp as that of an eagle, but hearing and sense of smell is exceptional. As a matter of fact, many years ago, my hero, game ranger, Rupert Fothergill, was torn to pieces by a black rhino whilst on a mission to dart the animal and relocate it to a safer environment. Luckily, Rupert survived. But more about Chipimberi later. Well, what about the other species of rhino? Well, they occur in Asia, and I guess this is where the quest for rhino horn all began. Let's start with the Indian or one-horned Asian rhino. There are very few left in the wild, but there are some left in protected areas. Next comes the Java rhino or the Sunda lesser one-horned rhino, also very scarce, none in captivity and very few in the wild. And then the third one is the Sumatran or hairy two-horned Asian rhino. They are extinct in the wild, but there are some in protected areas. This is so scary. It seems the poaching and demand for rhino horn was driven by this age-old Eastern belief. And when most of the Asian rhinos were almost cleaned out, they had to go further afield and target Africa. That, as I said, as the biggest population of rhinos left in the world. But what does rhino horn consist of? Well, it's only keratin, as I told you, same as fingernails or horse's hooves and the beaks of certain birds and turtles. And what's in it? Well, it's been analysed by chemical scientists, and it's said to contain sulfur and acids like arginine, cysteine, histidine, lysine, and tyrosine. It also contains salts like calcium carbonate and calcium phosphate. Now in China, Vietnam and Eastern countries, these properties are reputed to, wait for it, help for cancer, fever, food poisoning, gout, headaches, hangovers, rheumatism, sores and bites from snakes and spiders, typhoid, and the best of all, an aphrodisiac. And a lot of people ask how rhino horn is administered. Well, it's usually ground up into a powder, mixed with water, and drunk. Apparently, pills are now available. After many studies by medical scientists, it has been established that rhino horn serves absolutely no medical purpose, and the possibility of it being an aphrodisiac is even more remote. Now, in spite of this, the use and demand for rhino horn has grown, and rhinos have been poached almost to extinction. The purchasing power of Asian middle class people has increased. The possession of rhino horn in the East is like a status symbol. International criminals have organized and equipped poaching syndicates in southern Africa. In the old days, primitive methods were used to poach rhinos, like snares and pits that rhinos were lured into. Even poison was put on salt licks, resulting in rhinos dying, poachers then following them and removing their horns after the poor beast dying of the poison. Nowadays, poachers are equipped with sophisticated tracking devices and other tools like tranquilizing darts. The rhino is tracked, tranquilized, and the horn hacked off in the most barbaric way. The rhino awakes and dies in agony, bleeding to death. These poachers are also armed themselves with automatic weapons, making them dangerous and difficult to apprehend by rhino anti-poaching personnel. These anti-poaching guys in South Africa do not often carry automatic weapons. However, I believe in Zimbabwe, anti-poaching units carry AK-47 rifles. Conservationists have long been aware of the plight of the rhino in southern Africa. As far back as I can remember, in the 50s and 60s, a lot was done to protect rhinos and increase their numbers by the likes of Dr. Ian Player, who was the warden of the Shishlui Mfolozi Game Reserve in Natal. He initiated the Wilderness Foundation, and they were able to start a breeding program of white rhinos. In the 1970s and 80s, their numbers increased. They increased dramatically. As a matter of fact, Shishlui Mfolozi is the oldest game reserve in South Africa. It was founded in 1895 and was originally the hunting ground of the Zulu Royal Kingdom. Paul Kruger had a dream of founding a game reserve in 1898, but the Boer War put paid to that dream. However, it all came to fruition in 1926 when his grandnephew, Piet Grobler, who was a cabinet minister in the Union government, got it put through Parliament. It was named the Kruger National Park. In 1977, the trade in rhino horn was declared illegal by CITES, that is, the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species, CITES. But as far back as 1970, the Rhodesian authorities were aware of poachers coming in from Mozambique to her northern borders. A scheme to capture rhinos and relocate them to Gonarezu Reserve in the south of Zimbabwe was initiated. In 1973, I wrote a song called Chipimbiri to honor this incredible operation. Yes, Chipimbiri, the wild one, was being rescued. This song was included on my conservation album, Wild and Beautiful and Free, and all my personal royalties went to the Elephant and Rhino Foundation. Over the years, poaching nevertheless has increased in spite of all the efforts of dedicated conservationists. Many tactics have been initiated, like the dehorning of rhinos and the injecting of a pink dye into the horns that contains a toxin that could be nauseating for humans, but of no harm to the rhinos. Very recently, Teresa, my wife, and I were invited by Robin Taylor of the Waterberg Nature Conservation to listen to a talk given by British Professor James Larkin of the Witwatersrand University. Professor Larkin is probably the most knowledgeable man around regarding nuclear materials and is an internationally recognized authority on this subject. He spoke about a project he's spearheading to place radioactive isotopes into rhino horn to curb poaching and to increase detection capabilities of smuggled horns globally. Incidentally, these isotopes cause no harm to rhinos, but might, by word of mouth and social media, offer a word of caution to would-be consumers of rhino horn. But to get back to the seriousness of this scourge, here are a few alarming figures. Between 2008 and 2015, 11,000 rhinos were poached in South Africa, and the demand increased dramatically. However, due to work done by anti-poaching units and the advent of COVID-19, with lockdowns and travel bans, poaching figures fell. In closing, may I mention that rhino horn, in weight, is worth three times more than gold. The rhino populations in South Africa were recently estimated at 5,000 black rhino and 18,000 white rhino. That's billions of US dollars worth of business. Before I go, don't forget to like and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Keep an eye on my website. And should you want to hear Chipimbiri, the song about the wild one, it's available on most popular music platforms. Till then, it's cheers for now. Talk next week. Shalom, peace, salagashle, tot ziens, and zwakanaka, Chipimbiri.